When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And we are back. Great to have all of you here. Second half of the show is live, and AC is up next.
Mr. Feinbaum, how are you feeling? Thank you so much for taking my call.
Feeling great. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, to you, happy Friday. To me, Saturday morning. I know you guys are about to go to Saturday pretty soon, whatever the time you have. But, you know, Mr. Feinbaum, this is what I've been thinking all along, the half of the night, in the morning time. You should do some competition with the fans, man. The show is not going the way it's supposed to be right now. Football season gets hard. It's hard to get through because I don't have that special number. You know what I'm trying to tell you? Because I already know the special number, but I cannot dial in. I have my people updating for me, man. But what do you think about us? Good competition, Mr. Feinbaum, with your callers. Come on, man. Give me something to work with. What do you have for me?
What would you like?
Well, I don't know. I would rather have you and the team do some brainstorming because I do have a great idea. I know Denny Brand is going to like my idea. But I would rather have you guys do some brainstorming, figure it out over the weekend, Monday, try to announce it. If I like it, I will let you know. If I don't, I can propose my idea. What do you think, Mr. Feinbaum?
I'm good.
I know you're doing good. I know you're doing good. But think about it, ponder on it. I hope whatever the list you select, I hope it's not totally expired. Holla.
Nobody understood what he was talking about. Keith is up next in Atlanta. Hello, Keith.
Yes, sir. I'm on.
You are on the air. Go right ahead.
Oh, my God. Thank you, Mr. Feinbaum. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Fantastic.
And I was watching the show this afternoon because it's my day off, and I just a nerve just hit me. I am so sick and tired of these Alabama callers whining. They're just a bunch of big babies. And, you know, my opinion, they feel like they're entitled to win the national championship every year. Now, I will give them credit. When they were killing everybody, they sent out the message that if you want to beat us, everybody else has to get better. Well, we did that. The SEC has gotten better from top to bottom, right?
Right.
And so they did that. But, oh, my God, this keep calling in about, we didn't have our best receivers and we didn't have the – I'm sorry, I'm a Georgia fan. We didn't have our best receivers, and we weren't at full strength. And luck is a part of every sport: hockey, baseball, football, basketball, you name it. Yeah, you got to have a little luck on your side every now and then. But they're not giving Georgia credit for being good, and I don't like that. They're good,
especially when you're. It's one thing if you're TCU and you're starting quarterback or running back goes out or wide receiver, but Alabama is the deepest team in the country, so it happens and you get through it. But when the fan bases talk about 21, I keep wanting to ask them, what about 22?
Mm-hmm.
You could have been there. An injury that caused the brain trust on the Alabama sideline to freeze up at the end of the game and literally watch Josh Heupel pick them apart.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't anyone but Nick Saban's responsibility to be prepared for a two-point conversion, which his team was not.
Right, right. And, you know, down here in Georgia, and I'm in Loganville, Georgia, high school, home of the Grayson Rams, 3-time 7A champs. I have to throw that in. But, you know, high school football is huge here in Georgia. And, you know, we produce a lot of players, and everybody can't go to UGA, but, you know, they go wherever they go. But, my God in heaven, we stuck with the process. Georgia fans, we suffered through the growth, and we watched, and we knew it was coming. We could see it. And so Alabama, Jesus Christ, tell these people to stop whining and complaining.
Will do, Keith. Hey, thank you. I'm really glad you could make it in today. Jim is next.
Why don't you tell that guy to quit using God's name in vain like that, Jesus Christ? That's a blasphemy, pal. I take offense at that, and a lot of people do, too. That's, you better watch what you say, because God can put you down fast. Paul, I didn't call for that. They made me mad to hear that guy. I'm calling for a positive thing, though, here. I just now got it. I've been busy trying to – we've been trying to get, Squirrel's working on it real hard, trying to get your culinary guy, Legion, trying to get him a short-order cook job. I think Squirrel's got him a short-order cook job that might get a couple hours a day, that might get him started on something that, you know.
What about the Rammer Jammer? You think they could use him?
No, they don't want him. They couldn't take a chance, you know, but he might get one with Waffle House again. Squirrel's working on that, too.
Squirrel's got connections.
We've been busy, but I just now got to listen to John from Louisville, and I'm going to tell you something, pal. That's newsworthy. I get more news out of that than five newspapers and 20 radio shows and 10 TV shows with you and John talking. This time you let him talk for about, and it was good. I'm telling you, it was good. A lot of news stuff between you and John from Louisville today. And I wanted to say, hey, that's where I'm getting my news now. That's the only place you can get it, looks like.
Well, the news business is in trouble, Jim, so you're right.
I know that. You know that.
I don't know where you can get good news anymore.
I'm serious. That was good stuff between you and John from Louisville today.
Well,
I'm just trying to promote it.
Well, I'm glad
we need more. Like, not everybody can do that, but you and him did it well today. Kind of reminded me of me and you 15 years ago.
Yeah, back when the show was good.
Exactly, and that's what we're talking. Today we're getting better with you and John doing that new stuff.
Your colleague Squirrel is calling in. Do you want to talk to him?
Well, I don't mind talking to him. Yeah, he's got some good news for the culinary chef.
Okay, we'll see if we can get him the two of you on together. We've never had this before, Jim and Squirrel together.
Jim, I appreciate you letting me in on your call. But no, I'd heard you was asking. I didn't hear your call asking where you asked about how Legend's cook status was going.
Well, I knew you were trying to work on getting him a short order cook, and I was trying to tell Paul you've been working on trying to get him a job, a short order cook. So go ahead, take it from there.
No, I was going to ask how Bobby Flay Jr. was going, how he was doing. I hadn't heard him call in.
What Jr.? I couldn't hear you.
Bobby Flay Jr. You don't know who Bobby Flay is?
No, I never heard him.
Okay, how about you, Paul? Do you know who Bobby Flay is?
I'll be respectful and say yes.
Okay, but no, look, I'll be short. I was mainly going to ask you, Paul, what was worse, a Charlie call or an AC call? Both of them suck, to be honest with you. But I wanted to hear more, Jim. I'm going to hang up and listen. Thanks for taking.
No, I want to ask you, Squirrel. Have you had any luck trying to get that short order cook job for the Legion guy?
Squirrel has left the building, Jim.
He didn't want to get involved in that, I guess, Well, anyway, it's you and me, Paul. It can't be bad for just you and me, you know.
No. It's back to the way things used to be back in the day.
Yeah, well, anyway, y'all were talking something y'all were talking about. I couldn't quite understand where John was. It was about Dustin. That guy, is that Dustin guy?
Yeah, he does not like Dustin at all. And
well, who does? Who does? I had to block him the first day, John, Paul. He's one of my many blocked.
What would you say, Jim, your number of blocks is up to?
Paul, I had over 3,500. Look, I know for a fact on my account that I had before I got booted off with all the Trump people back in 2021, 2 years ago. What happened.
You were censored back then, weren't you?
No, I was not censored. We were a bunch of us. Paul, we were kicked off with Trump because we were Trump supporters. And Jack Dorsey, the jerk from that owned the Twitter then, he kicked us all off. I was one of thousands of guys.
No,
probably 150.
We probably lost 50 or 100,000 Twitter followers that week.
No doubt about it. But I had, at that time, on my, and I had about 14,000 followers, and I had about 3,500 blocked, probably a record, unless Tim Tebow outdid me. I mean, Tim Brando, he's blocked a lot. You know that. So we had a lot blocked. And now on this new account I've had for about a year and a half now, I probably got about 600 blocked on it. And Dustin's one of them. Trust me, he's one of them.
Jim, you know how I feel about blocking people, but I may agree with you on Dustin.
Well, you know, Paul, what we do, we have a block party. You know, yes, it's a nice thing. We have a block party for these people.
Well, hey, up against it, hey, Jim, they're telling me we need to go to break, but thank you for the call. On that happy note, it is Friday afternoon. A couple more guests will be dropping by. We'll preview the College World Series in the final hour. Florida playing tonight, LSU and Tennessee tomorrow. We'll talk more about where we are with the SEC and the CFP in a few minutes.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We are back, and thank you for staying with us. Mark is up next. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Paul. How's it going, Paul? Happy Friday.
Good afternoon.
I start to say good Friday. Happy Friday. It's Friday.
It's all the same.
Hey, that's right. Hey, let me. I got an idea. After this show is so popular, but I got an idea to make it even more popular and more available to the masses. I remember running into you at the UAB stadium there when you went and you were part of the Legends Day.
Oh, yeah,
and
a couple months ago. Sure.
You know, and yeah, and a lot of people don't really get to know you. Like, I mean, we kind of get to watch you on TV, get to maybe you know hear you, maybe people are just listening in, but I thought about maybe after the SEC Destin, conference, that what if this show were to hit the road? Maybe you do it in 24, you plan it out, you got people smarter than me that can do it. But, and I don't know how you do it, but I think it would be a smashing hit. You go to all the SEC, and forget the rest of the conferences, all you other fans out there, but hit all the SEC teams, campuses, and let the people come. And I really think it would be just a tremendous outflow.
And somebody suggested it a couple of years ago, and things were crazy. But I agree. And to do it right, I believe, Mark, you have to interact with the fans. You just when we're on campus on Friday, mm-hmm. It's a very heavily loaded show. We're in Athens. We have Kirby Smart. We have Coach Don, and we have broadcasters. I'm talking about just letting the fans be the star, and I think that would be fantastic. And it's very doable. I mean, we work for ESPN. They can take a show anywhere in the world if they want to. So I am 100% in favor of it.
Well, I think you just nailed it. You know, when I got a chance just to notice that you're the kind of guy that will stop and talk to just a regular guy from Alabama, ordinary person here. When you got a lot of people like that watch this show, they call in this show, and then when you go to all these campuses, like you said, during the season, you can't do it. You're working, you're following all these teams, you got too much going on, but you can do it starting, for example, you know, like, I mean, you could this Friday, like today, you could have been maybe at Texas A&M, you know. So, and I think the show being live there, and then having the people there even come on the set, you know, some of the, maybe that crazy caller, I forget who he is, but the A&M fan. But I can see you being in Tuscaloosa.
What's interesting to me,
you know, so.
And I'm a very strong advocate of this, is that I really think that what we're talking about here is a very underrepresented and appreciated part of college football. And I think I get pushback every time I bring this up. I said this the other day in front of the NCAA president, and I could feel him cringing in the audience. But to me, these fans are what makes it work. And whether they're in the stadium or watching at home or buying products, they don't really get the respect I think they deserve. And I feel like we have slowly morphed into that role as a place where fans can come and be heard.
Yeah, and lastly, Paul, I will buy a Fine Bomb Road T-shirt, and I apologize to all the other fans. I think you do need to go to the, you know, see the Ohio State and other places, but let's call it the Fine Bomb Road Show. Whoever wants, y'all, like, you got smarter people.
This is the best idea I've heard all day, and I will.
All right, thank you, sir.
I'm in your debt. We will work on that. That's fantastic. And how much fun would that be? Can we go to Bangladesh and do the show with AC? Paul is in South Carolina. Paul, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, nice to talk to you there, Paul.
Thank you very much.
Well, I called, and the reason I called was about, you know, whether or not the conference is going to keep the East and the West, but the fellow that answered the phone answered that question for me and said that it's just going to be one conference now. And if that's the case, you know, if you only got 8 games in the SEC, there's going to be the possibility of multiple undefeated teams in the conference.
Well, Paul, you're right. This season will be the final time that there are divisions. That is a great question for next year, and it will be. We'll get a really good answer, not just a pie in the sky answer. Very rarely does the SEC have more than one undefeated team. In fact, last year there was one. I'm trying to remember the last time we've had more than one. It's conceivable. And don't forget, too, that it's highly likely in 2025 the SEC will have 9 conference games. But next year could be quite a race with all the new matchups going on. Thank you for the call. Let's check out Jesse in Georgia. Hello, Jesse.
Hello, Mr. Poe. How are you doing?
Very well. Thank you.
I hope the missus is doing well, too.
She is. She's doing great. Thank you.
Listen, after 40 years of us trying to win a national championship, what do you think Larry Munson would have done if he'd still been alive?
Oh, man, would I have given to hear Larry Munson broadcast that win over Alabama in 2 years ago? I hate to say what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it. There's never been another Larry Munson. Every school has its broadcasters, and we all love whoever our team is. But he's the only guy I would listen to Larry Munson describe a race between two cockroaches.
Ain't that the truth? He was a remarkable man. I actually am old enough to know the guy that he replaced.
Real? Who was that?
If you ask most Georgia fans, they can't tell you who that is. but his name was Ithelanius.
Never knew that.
That's right. He sure was. But no, Larry Munson was I got to meet him. I got to shake hands with him. He called me on my 50th birthday.
Did he really?
He did. My daughter somehow finagled away get him to call me on my 50th birthday. Wow. And I just, you know, that just made my day, you know, just
unbelievable. Can you imagine answering the phone and hearing that this is Larry Munson? I mean, how did you react when you heard that?
I was bumfounded. I literally couldn't hardly open it, but he got me to talking, and all he talked about was football.
No, he's, you know, one of a kind.
How we were doing so far and what he expected, and that he's just, it's just like me talking to you. He's down-to-earth man, you know. He's a man's man.
Jesse, I would encourage any young person who's never heard him. It's impossible to describe, and I know people that have done great Larry Munson imitations, but he's the most entertaining. Hey, thank you for the call. Really appreciate it. We head to the break. We'll talk to Brandon Marcello next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
The latest from Brandon Marcello from 24/7. Our coaching staff is miserable. Is college football losing its soul? Good answer to that question off the air. Brandon is joining us now. Brandon, thanks for the time. Good afternoon. And take us through your reporting, some fascinating comments in this. Everybody loves college football, but it's not exactly the happy place anymore. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, it's not the happy place, but, you know, a lot of coaches upset privately and now publicly about the way things have gone with NIL, the additional workload provided by the transfer portal, now tampering being involved, the recruiting calendar changing, it seems, every other year or every year for that matter. And, you know, a lot of feedback from people who have read this story has been, so, well, sorry, go cry into your millions of dollars. That's why you're being paid all this money. And that's very true, and I think the coaches understand that. But I think what upsets these coaches more than anything about everything that's going on is that they're powerless against it. They have ideas, but they pitch them, and little to any of those ideas end up being decided upon and being enacted because things are in such a chaotic state right now in a lot of facets.
I wonder, Brandon, though, if you couldn't expand this to the whole space of intercollegiate athletics. You see ADs not lasting very long, running for the hills, even the best ones. Is it just the fact that there is so much confusion and chaos and so much money involved, or is it something else?
You know, the common thing I hear from a lot of coaches, and you've heard this from Nick Saban, in fact, is pretty much just like, just tell us what we can do. Give us actual rules and guidelines around a lot of this. And most of that centers on NIL. Money drives everything, as we know. And NIL is the centerpiece of all this. NIL is what is the jet fuel for the transfer portal. That's why we have so much movement in the transfer portal, not just for playing time, but for potentially more opportunities in the financial sector. So what are the guidelines there? There really aren't any, and they differ from that matter, if there are any, state to state through legislation, and really even those aren't really being followed. And who's going to enforce those guidelines? The NCAA hasn't really stepped in and, you know, made a case or made an example of anybody, because they really don't have any teeth with this. I think a lot of coaches, you know, in a lot of ways, they want to abide by rules. You know, as much as everybody, you know, every fan base, the funny thing is like, our school doesn't cheat, your school cheats. But the fact of the matter is if there were actually like clear guidelines, like this is what you can do, this is what you can't do, and there wasn't a gray area, I think these coaches would be very happy with that and be willing to follow all of that. The fact of the matter is that there's nothing even close to that. And that's why I think coaches and ADs and even conference commissioners are going to Congress now going, help us, save us. Now, is that going to happen? Probably not, at least not in the very near future. And even some of these pieces of legislation, I should say legislation, but some of these ideas that are being written down by some senators in D.C., some of them are just absolutely ludicrous. Some of the ideas and things are being pitched, and they're at a point now where even if that was to get beyond a committee level, which nothing has gotten beyond a committee level yet, and there's been 10-plus pieces of bills, I should say, drafted, once it does get up for vote, how's that even going to pass when some of the ideas that are snuck in there are so ludicrous? For example, you know, the latest thing that, okay, these players can earn NIL money, but not until after their first semester or after their first full year in college. That's not going to fly anywhere. It just seems like everywhere you go, something is stubbing their toe in an effort to try and get some legislation or some rules passed. And that's what makes these coaches even more frustrated, because even the people who are trying to get things done seem to have, you know, they seem to be pointing in the wrong direction for whatever reason.
Brandon, I understand the frustration early on, but, you know, certainly from about a year ago to now, everyone knows the same thing, that nothing was going to change. So why are they doing so much complaining as opposed to just going out there and cheating like bandits, which we quite frankly wonder if they're not doing anyway?
Well, I think, I mean, when we talk about cheating, I don't think there's really a thing called cheating anymore. I really don't. Or breaking rules, because there really aren't any rules. You have explanations for everything to really get out of anything, to be quite honest. And so I don't think that there's really an argument anymore of, well, just go cheat and go cheat harder. There's really not much cheating to be had anymore. I think the most controversial thing that's actually out there is maybe tampering, and that's something that will never be stopped, because if you want a player and you're not necessarily the coach, or if you're a booster, the booster is going to go work on their own to go do it anyway. You can't control rogue people who don't necessarily even have direct contact to your program. You're not going to be able to stop everybody from doing that. And so I think these coaches, listen, I think that we're in obviously a transitional period, and I think we will be for several years, not just with NIL, but one, you couple that with the changes of the playoff, realignment. We're in a position of transition here for the next 3 or 4 years where it's going to be as chaotic as it is right now. It's going to continue to be such. So if you're a coach complaining right now, my advice to you is I hope you're prepared, because it's not going to slow down at any point in these next 3 or 4 years. I think more than anything that at some point there will be a breaking point. Now, we could talk about it on an individual level with coaches maybe leaving the business altogether or going to the NFL. We're already seeing that a little bit right now. Or for that matter, college football, and I should say the major football programs in the FBS, breaking away and doing its own thing. And I think that, not to say it's inevitable, but at some point, if this continues, like I think it will, I think that will become a more serious discussion. And one of the people I talked to for this story, Todd Berry, who's the outgoing executive director of the American Football Coaches Association, just said it plainly to me, quote, we've got a professional model that we're trying to treat like a scholastic model. And he went on to say that, you know, some people out there still want that scholastic model, but they're not on the level really of the FBS. That's Division II and Division III. And those guys want to see these bigger schools pull away from the NCAA and just go federate and do their own thing, as he said. And I think that at some point, if you really want to stop this complaining and you want some guidelines, that's really the only way to do it, is to break off, have 30-plus schools go do their own thing, create their own rules and guidelines. Otherwise, you're sitting there trying to get a model to work for nearly 1,000 programs in NCAA. That's just not going to work, because it's not one size fits all.
Brandon, instead of some of these coaches, you know, pointing the finger and saying all the things that you've got through saying, why doesn't someone just come out and say, hey, this school, here's his name, here's the university, is doing this? Because all this other stuff is not accomplishing anything, is it?
Not necessarily. And we've had some coaches say that, even without saying the school. For example, Dave Clawson at Wake Forest, you know, telling me and some others that, you know, there's been very clear to him that he's had two players leave in this offseason, and the reason why they left, he believes, is because of NIL, because of money. And, of course, that big guy is Sam Hartman, who went to Notre Dame. So you've had some coaches blatantly say, hey, I lost these guys, and they went elsewhere. You got Shane Beamer of South Carolina saying that he believes that four of his guys left was because of NIL. And, of course, one of those players is a big-time player, and he ended up going to Oregon. So you've got that out there. But the issue here is, I think even if a coach brought actual receipts and had, like, phone call records and everything and sat them down or whatever to the NCAA might look at it, but what do you exactly enforce? Like, what are you going to do? Are you actually going to make an example of someone and threaten potential litigation potentially when you're talking about paying players and what they deserve and what they don't deserve and all of that? There's a lot of seemingly small avenues that branch away from the bigger issue here that could end up getting the NCAA in some kind of trouble, which is, again, why they're going to Congress trying to get some type of legislation on their part that'll protect their own rear ends.
Brandon Marcello on the latest happy story from college football.
Games I can't wait to see season openers.
Hey, thank you, Brandon. Appreciate it. We head to the break. More to come in your reaction right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We are back. Jack is up next in Savannah. Good afternoon.
Mr. Paul, how are you doing, sir?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Paul, before I get to my question, have you ever been a nominated or won a Sports Emmy for what you do?
I've been part of a couple of Sports Emmys, but never for this show.
Okay, somebody's not bright, man. You deserve one. Man, it's more than one. Okay. The reason why I called for, because I'm
off the air, but yeah, but
okay.
Again,
okay. The reason I called for, because I live in Savannah, and I'm surrounded by these Bulldog fans.
I bet you are.
Paul, they are obnoxious until they start losing. Okay. So my biggest thing, okay, that I'm concerned about, well, I'm concerned about, just one thing. Can Alabama become an independent like Notre Dame, leave a conference if they want to? Can that happen?
Well, they could do what they could do so at a terrific financial penalty.
Okay, because I'm thinking like Bama is, when you say SEC, you don't think about the Bulldogs. You don't think LSU. You think about Alabama. The second basketball, you think about the Lakers or the Celtics. I mean, so it's like baseball, the Yankees or the Dodgers. Okay? So me personally, my personal opinion, that, you know, Alabama is the bigger, it's the brand name for the SEC. So I'm just wondering, could they leave that SEC and form their own little, I guess, not conference, but, you know, become independent like Notre Dame do and get a big-time TV contract? I think they can do it. Now, will they do it? I don't know. But I'm just wondering, can they do that?
So you're suggesting, what you Jack, think about that, that Alabama is big enough to say, we don't need the SEC affiliation. We could go out on our own and make the same amount of money and be just as important.
Paul, I think they can. I really do. Now, I don't know if they'll do it in my lifetime, but, you know, it's just something to think about. That's all. Ain't nothing but a sports conversation. Whatever happened, probably not. But it'd be interesting what they think about doing that.
Jack, I don't think they will. And it's for a lot of reasons, but it would be too difficult to do. And they have an advantage being in the SEC. They share the revenues, but I agree with your original point, though. Alabama is still the biggest brand name, but they profit from that independent of the SEC. There's a lot of money made just from being Alabama.
Okay. Well, I guess if I can't get that done, I want you to win your sports Emmy for this show.
If we ever win one, Jack, I want to assure you that I will thank you, Jack, and Savannah at the podium for making it possible. Thank you very much. Great to hear from you. Jimmy is in Tennessee. Jimmy, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. First time caller.
Well, that's fantastic.
I think my idea for a 16-team playoff, I think of getting the four top teams is a crock to begin with. I think you go 16 teams, you take two of the group of five, maybe include them in that, feed them 1 through 16. But here's a catch. Number one, don't play number 16. You put it into two groups. Number one plays number 8. Number 9 plays number 16, so on and so forth. After the first round of games, you reshuffle the deck, and the highest remaining seed plays the lowest remaining seed. I think it worked out great. You look at it now.
Jimmy,
number
these
one
are all great ideas, and I'm not against anyone having one, but we are not going to change right now. We're still a year away from the 12-team playoff. I don't know why people are insisting on changing what is not going to change, but thank you for the call anyway. Let's Jake is up next. Hey, Jake. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Very well.
Hey, first of all, kudos to Oral Roberts. I just watched them score 4 in the top of the ninth to beat
TCU. They beat TCU in the first game.
Yes, they did. Of course, I'm rooting for the three SEC schools first and foremost, but I'm rooting for Oral Roberts if the SEC can't win it all, just for the underdog thing.
Can Oral? I'm not being funny here, or maybe I am. Can Oral Roberts win without a miracle?
Probably not, but okay. Don't we love miracles? Don't we love miracles in sports?
They just had one, so I would not rule against them right now.
I don't know how deep their pitching staff is. I really don't know anything about them. You know, I think they threw their ace today, obviously, and brought in their All-American closer. I don't know what they have behind that, you know, but probably not much, you know. I agree with Brandon. The top 48, 64 big schools need to leave the NCAA. I've been saying it for 20 years.
See, that's really the answer. This complaining needs to end, and they just need to say, you know, goodbye. We're done with you guys.
The best analogy I have for the NCAA is the United Nations. I got three big comparisons, okay? It only consists of its member institutions. Mm-hmm. Number two, the United Nations doesn't have an army, a navy, or an air force, so it cannot enforce its rules. And number three, the United Nations has to care as much about the Democratic Republic of the Lesser Antilles as it does about the United States.
But, Jake,
the United
I wonder if NATO isn't really the example, because we're seeing right now NATO has some teeth. Where you look at, if you're talking about you know, that part of the world, that's the SEC. I know I'm getting way off my
good, very good
expertise, but where the UN is just the UN is That's probably the best analogy I've ever heard to the NCAA.
You're right. Why should Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, and my beloved Texas A&M have to worry about Southwestern Minnesota Technical College or have to play in the same league with them? You
and
know,
Jake, they if, you ever, if you ever wonder why college athletics is screwed up, just go to an NCAA convention or be around a bunch of people. I was with a group last week, and I mean, my head was about to explode just listening. And they're all well-intentioned people, but I don't care about podunk you and their problems. I care about what we're talking about here.
Well, case in point, I just made an observation watching that baseball game, okay? There's a rule that says a strapping 18-year-old lad cannot play college softball, right? We don't let boys play softball, right?
Right.
It's okay for a girl to play baseball if she's good enough, right? If a girl's a good enough pitcher, catcher, center fielder, pinch runner, whatever, she could be on a college baseball team. It could happen. It's plausible,
it
correct?
It could. Hey, Jake, so why, great points. I hate to run on you, but we are about to run out of time. Thanks for the call. One more hour to go.